Let's get into our next movie right here. And that's going to be a movie that Martin and I saw. Okay. So you couldn't get more opposite of Transformers than this movie we're watching right now. This is, we're going to give you a little backstory on it, but it's a small movie for various reasons. It's called A Ghost Story. And for those who are expecting to go in and watch a horror movie, stop right now. Stop. I want you going to see this and walking out the thing. Man, it's bullshit. It's
Another Comes at Night. God damn it.
Yeah, exactly. Special effects were shitty. You know, it's a,
it's just retro. That's yeah. Where ghosts wore sheets.
Man, it was a movie about the Klan. Man, I want to watch that shit. No, it's a movie where it's stripped down to the basics. And because they want to be not a horror film. They want to explore things with spirits and even spirituality and the supernatural and things that you don't see in ghost stories, but things that you might have had some questions about before. This is actually more of a reflection of emotions, what are emotions and how time passes. And this, you know, for something so deep, you think, well, ain't nobody gonna go see that shit. That's way too much thinking right there. Well, what if they have like big name stars such as Casey Affleck, Academy Award winner, and Rooney Mara, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, those ain't no lightweights right there. Let's go ahead and take a look at the trailer for A Ghost Story. And Martin and I will be back with our review.
When I was little and we used to move all the time, I would write these notes and I would fold them up really small and I would hide them.
What'd they say?
They were just like things I wanted to remember so that if I ever wanted to go back, there'd be a piece of me there waiting.
Piece by piece, and maybe the whole world will remember you, or maybe just a couple of people, but you do what you can to make sure you're still around after you're gone.
No budget on that. they put a sheet over dude with some Charlie Brown holes in there and called it a ghost.
And shot at one house.
And shot mostly in one house. And this is a movie where you have, you know, we were just talking about directors when they are working for big studios and they don't get to do what they want to do. We were just talking about how Miller and Lord just left the Han Solo project. And they weren't going to be able to do what they want to do. On this particular project, you know, because you have some directors who will do something and then they will say, all right, I'm going to do this. And that will either give me the freedom or the power to do something else, or I can just go off because I have the money or, you know, the clout to do something else. This is done by the guy that did Peach Dragon.
Oh.
And the guy who did Peach Dragon is, his name is David Lowry. And when he's not making movies, he's tying girls to railroad tracks and shit.
Spending all his money on mustache wax. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, that's some villainous 1930s shit right there. They just need a top hat and a cape right now. Nah. But he's that's like, yeah, that's
stealing the mortgage from orphanages and old widows.
Yeah.
I know you have the money.
But let me just say this. If you're watching, well, let me put this first. If you're listening, the guy has a bald head, tight shirt. Now, he has one of these hipster mustaches. He looks like this film.
Man, you could not have nailed that any better. I was thinking like the right things to say, right words to put together. When you showed that photo, it's like, yeah, that's it. He looks like this film.
If you see this movie, he looks like a guy that would make this film. And that is what's going to tell you right off the bat, beyond anything else, should you see this movie, because it is ponderous. Now, ponderous can be a good thing or that can be a bad thing. And
when is ponderous a good thing?
Well, when you actually ponder, when you spend time reflecting and thinking. Because with this film, I like the creative approach that they took to it. I don't think it's because it was cheap. They wanted to make something where they didn't want you to be distracted. I think the director didn't want you to be distracted by any fancy special effect. They also wanted to make it very intimate, so kept the aspect ratio real tight. If you look at it, it's like watching almost a 16 millimeter movie. It has that aspect ratio. It even looks like you're looking at 15 millimeter frames right there with the way the corners are cropped off. But what I like about it is that it answers some questions for me, because the way I'm looking at it is like, okay, you remember the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze?
Oh, sure. Ask about that.
Well, imagine if Demi Moore, instead of Patrick Swayze, spoiler right here, but Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore, they didn't get their thing resolved. And before that happened, Demi Moore just got a job in another city or something and got another boyfriend and just moved the fuck out. And Patrick Swayze just stuck like, wait, what the fuck? You know,
hey, hold on. Wait, I can't leave too?
I can't leave yet. He's just stuck there. And that's what I like about this movie. Casey Affleck is Rooney Mara's boyfriend. I think they go by the initials. If you look at the credits, just C and M. And
yep.
See, I know.
It was too much to. Yeah, giving people characters names, that's just passive.
They don't want you to be distracted by names, Martin. It's not important.
Names are a distraction.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they don't say the names too much. I mean, the thing is, they want you to see them as a couple, where they don't want you to become too attached, because they want you to be in the mindset, I think, of a spirit. The whole thing that happens is that you see them being a regular couple. They have great moments. They argue a little bit. But he gets in a crash close to home, and he's dead at the hospital. She looks at the body. Yeah, that's him. Heartbreaking. He wakes up, and he never leaves this sheet, and there's a portal, but he decides not to go through that portal for whatever that portal is. He decides to go back to this house where he feels there's so much history and emotion and probably some unsettled business. But what I like about it is that from that point on, these are not violent or crazy or scary poltergeists. They turn the spirits in this movie, they turn into animals, kind of driven by emotion. And it's a sadness to it where they can only observe. They're driven by emotion and know they want something, they want to do something, but they can't do anything. All they can do is stand back and look and maybe react when they get especially sad or if they get angry about something that they see. But what I like about it also is that, you know, none of us ever ask the question, what happens to a spirit if things really do change around them? You know, what happens when the haunted house eventually gets torn down? What happens when that ghost doesn't have any halls to haunt anymore? And they kind of address the passing of time like that. But while he's in the house, I like that, again, it's just it's kind of a slice of life with a supernatural, just a slight supernatural hint to it. You see these families come in, these different families, these different generations of people, and he can only watch. Now, there are moments, and I know Martin's going to bring it up, there are moments where we do get into that hipster indie filmmaking shit. We watch Rooney Mara eat a pie for 5 minutes.
It's cruel and unusual, because considering that she's a waif who, you know, eats no carbs, the camera sits on her for 10 minutes And the director makes her eat a whole pie.
She's crying.
I was feeling bad for her. Yeah, she's just eating. I'm like, and I'm sure she's not crying because her boyfriend's dead. She's crying. It's like, I'm going to get so fat.
Or that was their entire special effects budget.
Yeah. She just ate it right there.
And it's unflinching. It's like, it's set up, and they sit there, and it's, you say five. I feel like it was 10 minutes. Or her just, nothing but her eating a whole Costco-sized pie.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn,
and
man.
And see, and this is where I'm going to get laughed at because I have no defense for it. And, you know, I'm not going to even try to debate it with you because I got what was happening. Whenever I see things like that, sometimes, all right, yeah, they don't make sense. And I'll be the first one to tell you because you know me. I go hot and cold with these indie movies. I either really like what they're doing or I'll tell you straight up, this is some pretentious bullshit. Her eating this pie did a lot of things that I think reflected what the movie wanted to do as far as being an observer from being this spirit, this helpless spirit. It's like, yeah, you know, in a movie you would see a spirit doing something like trying to communicate, trying to shake things up, trying to move around. What if you can't do anything and all you can do is watch somebody do something mundane like grieve and eat a pie? You know, I got it.
Damn, she gonna eat that whole goddamn thing.
I did say that. I was like,
if I stuck around, she would just got fat. It's just I died.
I expected her to just start shitting while she was eating that pie because she's so little. I like, this is not gonna stay in her mouth. I mean, this pie gonna be coming out of her ear, her ass. You know, I said it didn't look ridiculous, but she was chowing down and she looked mad. Like somebody gonna yell cut on this motherfucker, man.
I know. Okay, we'll tell you when to stop eating.
It was almost like the director was doing some text. Oh shit!
Oh shit!
Cut!
Oh, Rudy, I'm so sorry. You go throw up now.
Yeah. It's almost like he couldn't do anything. Like before you yell cut, she just got up and just ran to the bathroom. Yeah, but it's Martin. I know, and you are much harder on these kind of movies than I am.
And the thing is, I tend to like a lot of mumblecore movies. I just think this takes it to an extreme. And it's one with the pie eating is certainly one that sums up the fact that, yeah, it's artistic certainly to leave the camera on her for over 5 minutes eating the pie. But for the narrative, even for the atmosphere, what it was doing, it's like halfway through, you got it. You got it. There's nothing unclear about it. It reminded me of Passion of the Christ, where they're first beating Jesus,
yeah,
and it's so bad, you're just like, oh, man. And after a while, you started getting numb. You're like, all right, guys, come on. Enough is enough already. It started to turn cartoonish. I like what it had to say. I like what it was doing, that whole thing about it. However, like I saw one of the reviews that popped up when it said it's a meditative poem. And for me, I read those two words, I'm like, get me the fuck out of there. I don't want any part of this.
That's your favorite word, isn't it? Meditation.
Yeah, meditation.
Yeah, whenever Martin hears meditation in a movie, he's like, oh, nah.
And to put the modifier of poem on it as well, I'm like, this is not for me. The thing about this movie, for everything that's good and artistic about it with the filmmaking, it still feels padded beyond what it's trying to say. And I was like, it's an hour. An episode of Black Mirror or whatever is the non-technological version of that, mm-hmm, it'd be perfect. You'd be like, wow, that really spoke to me. But as it is, an hour and a half, it's just too much.
Yeah, and
it's too much. And just when you think, well, it's just so quiet. Well, out of nowhere, somewhere in the middle, there's a party with this balding ginger hipster.
I was about to say, he's the world's weirdest looking hipster, man.
Yeah. Who goes on a rant about life and death in the middle of this party where everybody's having fun. And the most unbelievable thing about it is how nobody came over to him and said, hey, man, shut up.
Yeah, shut the fuck up. Go and slap on his bald head.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, it's our party.
Yeah, yeah. People would just sit there and let him go on and on and on.
He was PBR annoying. In his ass.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess what he was saying was supposed to be, you know, and this is what the film is about. It's like, yeah, I didn't need you for that. You're trying to be a smart film. Don't try to dumb it down now by having this asshole sit here and remind me of the parties that I don't go to anymore.
Yeah. No, I got you. I got you, man. And Martin's right. I mean, there are parts of the movie where you look at it and you say, you know what, this could have been done as a shorter film. I mean, they didn't want to do that because it's already an hour and 27 minutes.
I believe it maybe was expanded from a short.
Yeah. And this is the director. He had this vision to do this when he himself had an argument with his wife and wanted to make a movie about how he felt really close to his home that she wanted him to move out of, and he wanted to say all these things about, you know, spirits and whatnot. And he did the movie, and it was a very personal project to him.
Oh, that just made me like it less.
I know.
Man, you go ahead and go buck up, go talk to your wife, and stop boring the rest of us with this film.
But see, I liked it. I liked it a lot. And because, as I said, I don't look at something in the beginning like Martin. No, I'm kidding. I don't look at something in the beginning. I'm kidding. I just do it. Now. I'm fucking around. No, when a director's doing something and it looks like it's out of the ordinary and it looks like something that might potentially test the audience, my first thing to say is there a reason for doing it? And if I get something personal out of it, or if I see, I think I understand when they're doing it, then I won't. That doesn't bother me. I appreciate it. And furthermore, I always say when I come out of a film and it makes me think and it sticks with me, then that's more value to me than a movie I see and don't remember at all. Even movies that I like. There are some movies I love I can't tell you about, but there are some films where I just think about it because they hit personal issues with me. And I've always thought about this thing of, you know, yeah, where do these spirits go? I mean, if it's a silly thing like that, where do these spirits go when they have nowhere to go? And yet they don't know what they're supposed to do.
Where does the Easter Bunny go on Mondays?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to get that movie. A bunny story.
Shit. You know?
But
wasn't that Hop?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. They made that movie.
What does Santa Claus do? What does this fat ass do for 364 days a year? You know?
Exactly. Where's that movie?
Well, where are we going to get that movie? But no, you know, the thing that really stood out to me was just, it's a ghost movie, and it was just sad. It was just this sadness where they were like lost animals, and I really felt a big sympathy for them. They're a part where they even have their own communication with each other, and what they're talking about is they're trying to answer questions for each other that they can't do.
Mm-hmm.
These kind of movies are always a personal thing, and that's just how they have to be taken. And that's why I can't look at you and say, man, you fucked up for not understanding this.
Can I ask two questions about this? One, like, they have the 4:3 aspect ratio. Like, was there a reason for that, or did they just do it stylistically?
I think, again, to keep it kind of closed and intimate and not had, because there, you know, it's not meant to, like, show everything in this big scope or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, this spirit is the center of the composition.
Okay. And the other thing is, I saw, like, I'm assuming because it's in the trailer, it looks like they tear the building, I'm sorry, the house down, and then they build some, like, high rise or apartments or some stuff like that. And you said this movie's only an hour and a half. Like, I feel like that was that's something that would take up, like, it comes in like an hour 15 in, and the movie keeps going for another half hour.
Okay. It bounces around in time at one point.
Oh, yeah, it really does. It bounces around in time, and it even teases that you might not be watching this from the perspective that you think you are.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of quiet things in here that give you time to think that they don't address. Like I'm saying, what perspective was I watching this through? Why did we go back to this time? I really just watched this and felt like, man, there are so many things that I'm just pouring over my head that they put in there that they did not answer. And that's the biggest thing I like about movies. We see so many movies that are heavy-handed in their direction, in their storytelling. Leave something for me. Leave something for me to walk out with and make my own stories behind it. And that's what I see about a lot of these films. Coming from a personal standpoint, I give it a low full price. And there's a lot of people who are not going to like it. But I think some of the things I didn't like. Like that hipster dude, it really was a point where I was just like, all right, now you get on my fucking nerves. Mm.
You know? But that pie
looked good, man. She looked hot in that pie. Little skinny ass on the ground. More. Keep eating more. What's up, Martin?
Well, just like you, if somebody likes it, I'm not going to come in and say, well, you're a moron or you're pretentious for liking it. But I do think the film, it airs on the side of pretension for me. I don't like to throw that word around, but I look at it, the whole time looking at it, I'm like, yeah, there's certain things you're doing well that I like, but where this film is expanded, I was like, I feel like you could fill this in with more than just a lot of slow silences and the camera just kind of staring. And ultimately, I'd like to say I wasn't bored in it, but I was bored quite a bit. And it was just like, yeah, I get it. Not speaking to me. I'm sorry. Yeah. Just not there. I wouldn't recommend this to be. Well, because me seeing the poster intrigues me.
And then seeing the movie, I'm like, nah, that's not at all what I thought going in. It, to me, it's a rental.
Yeah. I mean, if those themes appeal to you, then it will carry you through the lulls. And you know, the lulls will not even be lulls. They'll mean something. And if they don't, like I cannot say, hey,
it's weird because it's some long pauses. It kind of meant more to me when it started. And by the time it was done, I was like, well, okay, dude, that's your deal. I don't feel like that's universal, but.
See, I do. I think everybody should know this, man. I don't even know what time. But you should know. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Director Snidely Whiplash trying to be intimate with you, Martin. You don't appreciate it.
Yeah.
Maybe if there's a meditation on boom, like Transformers, you'd like this movie.
You just don't get me, Martin.
I bet his wife made him move out of that house, too. Yeah. He spent all that time and money making that movie, and they still had to move.
Yeah. And shave that goddamn mustache.
Either the mustache or me.
That's going to be the next movie, Mustache Story. The mustache look out the window.
Just a floating mustache
out through space.
Yeah. Shave the mustache and go join a Smashing Pumpkins.
He shaves it, and then it has its ghost story.
The story of the mustache's ghost.
There you go.